better than people plan.
And magnolias,
they never do evil plans.
And begonias,
all they ever want is to grow. Plants,
iris,
are smarter than us.
Violets,
they make a living without any fuss.
Us,
water, sun, and air,
and
are all they need to grow. I think plants
are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Back in the greenhouse at KSRO. It is Garden Talk Live with Steve Garner and Gwen Kilcher handling the calls this morning and questions. And so glad that you decided to give yourself a respite from the world's news by joining Garden Talk as always on Saturday morning. 11:05, Chef John Ash and I in the KSRO kitchen have a couple of really great guests. Kenji Lopez Alt. Kenji is a very well-known chef and writer and author, culinary director for Serious Eats, probably the most popular online culinary blog in the world, and he has written, as of yesterday, a comprehensive guide to the coronavirus. It is the best written piece I have read out of the hundreds of pieces that we've received here at the radio station. Kenji will be joining us live on the air to go through his analysis of where this epidemic is heading and ways that we can safeguard ourselves, especially in our kitchen. We will take your email questions for Kenji. If you want to send them early, steve@ksro.com, and we will forward your questions to Kenji. He's in a unique position globally to access the world's best experts on the spread of the disease and clarify so many misperceptions and misinformation that is out there. So that's how we'll start the show at 11:05, an exclusive interview with Kenji Lopez Alt from Serious Eats. And then we'll move into gluten-free cooking. John Ash has published a series of his first gluten-free recipes. He was going to teach a class on gluten-free cooking at Ramekins Cooking School in Sonoma, but as of all the classes around the country, been canceled. That'll be rescheduled for later in the summer, early fall. But John's going to tackle some of the gluten-free recipes, and we're going to be joined by Erica Linkert. Erica started what we consider the best magazine ever published on gluten-free cooking called Gluten-Free Forever. The magazine is now in an online format, but if you suffer from gluten intolerance, you would do well to discover this website. There's really nothing else on the internet like it. Erica will be joining us for the second hour of the Good Food Hour, and we'll have some updates about restaurant closures and ones that are still open, and some general news about safeguarding ourselves and helping so many restaurants that are in dire predicaments possibly survive the next several months. We'll give you some tips and suggestions on how to do that. We're giving away orchid stamps. What? In honor of spring, I thought, what would be something that would brighten people's moods that listen to Garden Talk? Well, I think 20 orchid stamps would brighten anyone's mood. And if you get in with a question via email or on the phone, we'll enter your name into a drawing shortly before 11 o'clock. And at random, we'll choose two names. We will send you via postal mail 20 stamps to use any way you'd like, although we'd like you to use them for fun activities like birthdays or even writing a letter to a friend you haven't spoken to a long time. I don't know about email. I'm talking like a real letter, sitting down and writing a letter to a family member or a friend. Since we have a little extra time now and then, we can devote to things other than answering emails. So anyway, these beautiful orchid stamps just released by the U.S. Post Office will be our way of welcoming spring to Sonoma County. No one on hold at this moment. 636-1350. If you want to reach us now, we'll take your calls as soon as you call, or we'll take your emails, steve@ksro.com. Simple as that. Did you have any follow-up, Gwen, from last week or that you wanted to That's okay if not.
I'm just, follow up from last week, I'm just trying really hard to remember what Pat was telling me to repeat the names of things, you know, plants, diseases, bugs, whatever it is, just so in case somebody tunes in after the fact and they know what we're talking about. So, Pat, I'm still thinking of you.
Oh, that's
trying.
Actually, why don't we take Larry's question? Larry has sent us a photo of a lemon tree that he was not doing well. It's kind of a yellowing leaves, and he's saying, "Hi, Larry from Santa Rosa. My lemon tree's not well. About half the tree is turning yellow, and the yellow is spreading. I tried deep watering. No joy. Help." So that's the first photo is that lemon tree with the yellow leaves. Fertilizing, or what do you think?
Well, if I was a little more computer literate, I would know how to get it up on the screen.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Wait. Okay. Yellowing. Wow, that looks like a big lemon tree, and I don't see any yellowing. Way at the top there, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, you could give it, it looks like it has some compost around the base of the tree. I wonder how often, if he's been watering it. Maybe he's giving it a little too much water. But I don't see much of a problem with yellowing.
On some of the tips, it's a little bit of yellowing.
Looks like one half of the tree looks well and the other half doesn't. So if you can get down on your hands and knees, Larry, and look at the base and see if, like Steve, your tree, a multi-trunk tree, and some of the branches, the limbs were starting to break off of the main tree. You could have some issue there, which is causing nutrients and water not to go up and down.
Shouldn't he have some fruit on that?
Maybe he picked it all.
Oh. Well,
I don't have any fruit on mine because I picked it all.
All right.
So, you know, why they're, it's just really strange how half the tree is looking better than the other half.
So are you thinking he should look carefully at the trunk to see if there's any splits along the trunk?
Yeah, see if anything's splitting anywhere there. Looks like there's a pathway on the side there. Anybody have a walking their dog or something that's doing their business on that corner of the plant? I need a few more photos of some close-ups of the leaves and this area between the healthy part of the tree and the part that's not so healthy.
Larry,
so, Larry, if you can do that, that'd be very helpful.
Get some close-ups. So the first two photos are the lemon tree. The third photo is actually a lovely photo of his photinia that he writes is doing very well after some black spot trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He said he trimmed it way up from the ground last year, and he said it's bringing him a lot of joy this year. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, so the that, leaves? You know, nice two shrubs there that look like they were trained up into big trees. And it's along the fence line there.
That's nice.
So it looks really good. But, we haven't had a lot of rain, so I don't think we're going to have too many disease problems like we normally would if we had a lot of rain during spring. So maybe this photinia will be spared with the continuing spread of that leaf spot that these plants are notorious for getting. So that's nice that you cleared out underneath there. You made some better air circulation. And just keep an eye on your plants. And if you see any leaves that are starting to have spots, pull them off. And you did a good job in pruning there. It looks nice. Don't plant anything underneath it because then you're only going to create a problem where you're trying to get good air circulation to prevent the leaf spot. And then you go ahead and plant something under there. And there goes everything that you've tried to do.
You did a good job, Larry. It looks beautiful. Larry also writes that his lilac is blooming joy and his veggie garden's waiting for a little more springtime. So thanks for sharing those photos and thoughts with us, Larry.
Yeah, 636-1350.
We have four open lines at this moment. You can reach us without having to wait and chat with Gwen Kilcher. We'll get to Gwen's column that appeared in today's Press Democrat under the, of course, her column that she writes with Dana Lozano every first and third Saturdays of the month, The Garden Doctors. They've co-written that column for close to 30 years. We get Gwen all to ourselves on Saturday mornings here in the KSRO greenhouse. Something very funny from Randall we got last week about the bay tree.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Gwen and Steve. My bay tree felt disrespected from Gwen's comment about wimpy bay blossoms. This is a Middle Eastern or Indian type bay that is 20 years old and 30 feet tall. Probably my favorite tree on my whole property. Thank you, Randy from Windsor.
Randy, I have to
say. And look at that.
That's a big, beautiful species bay tree that you have there. That's really nice. But, you know, the bays that we normally get, the Grecian laurel and, you know, these other little varieties, yeah, they don't, the flowering is not, doesn't amount to anything. So that was my experience in that. So I'd like to know the species name to that one, because that's probably something that I have to have now in my garden. So.
Well, if we don't hear back from him, I will go ahead and respond to this email and ask him if he knows the species name, because you're interested.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful.
And you profusely apologize.
Yes. And I'm sure the bees love that. And, you know, that whole plant, so people get an idea of what it looks like. It's a nice, big, beautiful bay shrub-like tree with full of yellow flowers.
Let's head out to West County. John from Monterio would like a word. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning to you. I'm having a problem. I've struck out 2 years in a row with my zucchinis. Big, beautiful plants, probably four or five of them, and no real fruit, just kind of a little couple stubby ones that turn yellow and go away. So,
okay,
looking for some tips.
That's probably a pollination problem. First, are you growing these plants in full sun all day long? All day long.
Not all day long.
No. Okay. That's the number one problem. So, and then zucchinis, your squashes, melons, pumpkins, all those guys need they need some pollination from the bees or other insects in order to get that female fruit to produce its fruit. So it sounds like you might not have a lot of bees going over there towards your plants because they're not in sun all day long. So, and the bees are usually in the sun most of the time. So if you can plant those plants in a sunny spot, then you'll be more successful. So is that possible?
Yeah, okay, I'll try to relocate them. But the interesting thing is, excuse me, in the past, I've been able to produce zucchini almost in the same spots, but there's been slight changes. So thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah.
I'll try it, and I'll let you know.
Okay, see, slight changes. So sometimes, well, in my yard, my roses were doing great until the oak trees started to get bigger and bigger, created more shade. Now those plants don't flower as much. So that could be, you know, whatever changes went on in your property, that spot has more shade now than sun, and your zucchinis want more sun than shade. So you find that spot, and then you call us during the summer and let us know how many zucchinis you're getting. Okay?
Okay, thanks, Gwen.
Okay, you're welcome, John.
I like how you left it on a high note. That was great. A lot of positivity there. Call us and tell us how many
zucchinis.
Well,
you know, I would love when, you know, you give somebody some information, like all these callers, everybody, and it's like, hey, let me know how I did.
Good morning, Mary, calling from Rohnert Park this morning. How can we help you on Garden Talk?
Good morning, Gwen and Steve. I attempted to send email a picture of this issue, but I don't think I did it right, so I thought I'd call in. I have a mandarin tree that my husband actually grew from a seed years ago, like about 8 years ago, and it's probably 10, 12 feet high. And it's never had fruit on it, but this year it does. For the first year, it has some blossoms coming in. So my question is, it has these tiny little, almost like my husband calls them water spouts that are, you know, jumping up from the top of the tree. They're just shooting right up there, thin little branches. And I was wondering, when is the best time to prune those back?
Why don't you just wait and see what they turn into? You have your branches that are producing the flowers. Okay,
right.
So maybe that plant finally has enough age to it and greenery that it's going to start producing some fruit. So don't start cutting off its food source by cutting off a lot of the greenery. So just wait until summertime, see what they do. If they start producing thorns, okay, then you can go ahead and cut them out. You're not going to need them. But if they're growing straight up in the air off of a branch growing horizontally, okay, then you want to go ahead and cut those off. But just wait and see. Maybe those are younger branches that will later on produce some flowers for you, which will then give you some more fruit. So don't be too hasty in pruning anything out yet, okay?
Okay, so you mentioned if they have thorns on them to cut them off.
Yeah, if they have big thorns. If they have tiny little thorns, just wait. Just wait, because a lot of citrus has those little thorns, but those big things that look like daggers, you want to cut those off right at the source.
Okay, because some of the larger branches at the base of the tree have those big, long thorns.
Oh.
Should I cut those branches off?
Well, they don't have any flowers on them, do they?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you could cut those off because those are not going to do anything. The problem with starting citrus or any kind of fruit, really, from a seed is you don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
You know, the citrus that you got that seed from is a hybrid, and the hybrids were crossed with who knows what, when, and this and that, and then you're going to get one of those parents that the reason why that particular parent is not available is because it doesn't produce very good fruit, but it might have a really good root system, or there was something good about that plant, which is why the breeders crossed it with something else. Your fruit might be really tasty and wonderful and great, you're inedible, or you know, you're going to have a lot of those branches that come up with those big giant thorns, and then you're not going to be able to get to the fruit, or it's not worth it. Then you cut it down.
There you are.
Or you might be pleasantly surprised. So you just wait.
All right. Well, wait and see.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the advice.
Okay.
Good talking
with
you, Mary. Thanks for the call. Let's head from Rohnert Park back to Santa Rosa. Alex would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I have a question about building the soil on a hillside. It's about a 10% slope, quite a bit of rock, and contains some clay. Without destabilizing it. We have things like olives that are doing quite well and some other native plants, but when apples or lemons, if these types of things are introduced because of the well-drained soil and probably lack of availability of nutrients or the difficulty of the plants getting the nutrients, they don't thrive very well. And I'm wondering if there's a trick, like either using pioneer plants or some method, to help create more capillary action, build humus in the soil, help nutrient cycling, mycorrhizae. You know, what your approach would be that might help us have more success with a broader range of plants in those conditions?
Do you know what the pH of your soil is?
I can check that. No. No.
Okay. I would check the pH first. And it could be off the charts one way or the other, alkaline or acidic. And that could be a problem right there. So, and when you're planting on a hillside and you're digging, okay, you've got a lot of rocks and, you know, water runs right through. Okay, so you obviously need some more water holding capacity soil, such as compost and the clay and whatnot. The thing is, though, you start digging these holes, and however big your hole is, that's pretty much where the root system of the plants are going to grow, you know, because then the roots start to grow outwards, and they hit the existing soil, wherever direction it is, and it's not very nice to grow in. So the roots just start turning, and they start girdling around the plants, and then you have problems. I would stay with small growing plants, natives. You know, once you find out what the pH of the soil is, then there are a lot of natives that would grow in that pH of your soil. So if you can start off with 4-inch pots or even 1 gallons and let the small root system get acclimated, and then it has a better chance of going through the holes that you've dug into the existing soil. And then, you know, drought-tolerant plants, of course. If you can get some big rocks of some sort to put it on the downward slope of the hill to hold the soil in, you know, even dig a little C-shape into the ground so those rocks sit in there. You're not just going to sit them on the ground where they could tumble down the hill. Have them set in there. Have your planting as flat as possible, so you're going to have to do some digging to create almost a stair step effect. And watch the watering, because that's going to be your biggest challenge. But yeah, I would first start off with the pH of that soil, find out what it is. All right, Alex?
Excellent. Shaking my head a lot during your exchange, so thank you so much.
Just small natives. And like I said, your favorite native plant nursery will be able to direct you once your pH, once you know what the pH is. Don't bother trying to change the pH of the soil. It is what it is. It's going to be a never-ending battle to try to get it to a certain number. Forget it. We have other things to do than try to keep changing the pH of a soil. So once you know what it is, you plant plants accordingly.
Thanks so much for the call, Alex. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll chat with Sandy and Fran and John and take a few more email questions this morning. Live Garden Talk, as always, every Saturday morning, 34 years and counting. And we don't plan on going anywhere. We have 40 orchid stamps to give away. 20 per lucky KSRO winner this morning in honor of spring, which was March 19th. And we thought, hey, let's give the post office a little business. So we were able to procure some funds to purchase 40 orchid stamps. So we'll send out two envelopes to two lucky winners. And you can start some correspondence with people that maybe haven't chatted with for a long, long time, or send out a birthday card or two. We'll mail those right to you if you're the winner.
Windsor hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hi folks, this is Weston Levins, the Deck Master, with a great tip for protecting your decks and outdoor wood from winter rains. The best outdoor wood finish on the market today is Q-Tech Extreme from Australia. How do I know? Professional Deck Builder magazine conducted a two-year test of 22 top wood finishes, and Q-Tech Extreme beat them all. Q-Tech Extreme had the best marks in penetration, color retention, and ease of application. Q-Tech Extreme is also the easiest to reapply when the time comes, because as a deep penetrating oil, it will never ever peel or crack. So think about it. You could work harder to apply an inferior finish, but why would you want to do that? Q-Tech is spelled C-U-T-E-K, and Q-Tech Extreme is available at Healdsburg Lumber, Sonoma Paints, and Plaza Paint.
Distributed by Deck Supply Warehouse, LLC, Windsor, California. For more information about Q-Tech Extreme, go to DeckSupplyWarehouse.com.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Bee Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
My brother-in-law passed away recently. My sister could hardly think straight. I offered to help, but I was also emotional. Talking with funeral directors about details seemed daunting. Then I found the online arrangements page at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home. It was so helpful. All the options and prices were right in front of me. They made a difficult task so much easier. Thank you.
Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home's online arrangements at srmel.com.
Atlas Pavers on 4th Street invites you to their spring open house and live broadcast with Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour, Saturday, February 29th, 9 to 5. Food, prizes, and specials.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Oh, yes, we are in the greenhouse, and we are happy to be here at KSRO in beautiful Santa Rosa, California, Sonoma County, to be specific. Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. And we're helped along in this endeavor because Sandy is on the line, and she would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Sandy. What can we do for you?
Good morning, Steve and Gwen. I have, which I love, except they are totally infested with aphids.
Wait, Sandy, what's infested with aphids?
Hellebores.
Oh, hellebores. Oh, okay.
And they always are, but this year seems to be particularly bad and has actually disfigured some of the plants. What can I do?
You could do what I always do. I get a squirt bottle, fill it up with water, and I put about 10, sometimes I go more, I really don't count, 10 to 12 drops of liquid dish soap, and I shake it all up, and I get out there. Because they're in the shade, I do it any time of the day. And I get out there, and I spray the soapy water all over the plants. And then the next morning, after I feed my horses, walk my dog, everything, I get out there with the hose, and I wash the soapy water off the plants. But one time years ago, I took a magnifying glass and I wanted to see what that soapy water did. And it looked like, oh, this stuff didn't even work. Those aphids are still sitting there in the soapy water. Well, I scooped up some of them and I looked again with my magnifying glass and they're dead. So they're not moving. They were just sitting there. So that soapy stuff gets through their skin. They have like a waxy coating on their body, and it breaks through that, and it probably suffocates them or something. And so the soapy water does work. You probably have to do it a few times to get a hole on top of the population, because you might miss some. Some might survive. But keep it on works. Top of it. It does work. And keep on top of it. And you have to wash that soapy water off, because soap and plants don't mix, especially if they're in the sun. The soap sometimes causes some damage on the plants, browning, burning, whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you get out there and start today.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was a quick and easy resolution to that problem, Gwen. Well done.
Oh, thank you. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my little pump sprayer with soapy water in it, since I have so many plants to spray.
Hello, Fran. Welcome to Garden Talk, live at KSRO. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, a simple question. I got a gift of a Hardenbergia plant. It's a gallon size, and I want to plant it, but I'm not going to be able to do that for a while. And I'm trying to decide where to keep it or how to keep it. Can I keep it in the container and just water it for a couple of weeks or so, or should I put it temporarily in the ground?
No, you could leave it in the pot. That's what they would be doing at the nurseries if the plants didn't sell. They just keep their plants watered. So Hardenbergia, which is also Happy Wanderer, with those dark purpley flowers, the little clusters of flowers that are very early bloomer.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a great plant.
Mm-hmm. So keep it someplace where it'll get shade in the late afternoon. That way the soil will stay damp longer than if it's in the sun all day, which it really doesn't like to grow in the sun all day long. The soil won't dry out as fast, and it'll be very happy. And if you're going to be away for a while and you're not going to get to watering it, then put it in a little shallow saucer, fill that with water, and it's okay if the water sits there for a few days. It's not going to hurt it. So.
Oh, okay. How often should I water it? Just depending on the weather, or
yeah.
should I have a... Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, do like regular watering. So you just, again, stick your fingers down in the soil or use a soil moisture meter or something and check and see how wet or dry or what that soil is doing. You put compost on top of the soil, so that's going to hold water in the soil for a longer time. So, and that's it.
Oh,
don't worry about...
Save
I saved you from transplanting or something, huh? Worrying about your plant.
Oh, well, saves me a lot of work, too. Thank you so much for your help.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks, Fran.
Well, you're batting 100% today.
Yeah, I was going to say she could even bring it to a friend. Like, you know, someone takes care of your cats and dogs. Here, take care of my plant.
That's a good idea. Nice talking with you, Fran. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's take a quick break. We'll head out to East Santa Rosa and chat with John and Maureen when we return Lots of open lines. Good chance to talk in the greenhouse with Gwen and Steve this morning. 636-1350. As you can see, we don't dawdle. We take calls as quickly as we can, and we try to get to the root of your problem as quickly as possible and resolve that, both on the phone and via email.
Root of the problem?
Yeah, I made a little joke. You can also email us anytime, and we'll take those emails as they come in. Steve at KSRO.com. At 11:05, we move from the greenhouse into the kitchen with Chef John Ash.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Water. As it gathers momentum, no obstacle can stop it. As it flows to a final destination, a river, an ocean, or a smartphone. Could your restaurant business grow if your menu specials appear on people's smartphones near your location? When they're hungry? We can make that happen. Water Drop Digital. We handle the details, you get the results. Find out how at waterdropdigital.com. Water. As it gathers momentum, no obstacle can stop it. As it flows to a final destination, a river, an ocean, or a smartphone. If your ideal customer is a 36-year-old female who's interested in archery and has money in the bank, we can help you find her. Water Drop Digital. We handle the details, you get the results. Find out how at waterdropdigital.com.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident, licensed landscape designer and contractor.
The nursery is ready for spring. Lots of spring color. Ferns, succulents, and houseplants all bursting with spring growth. Azaleas are blooming like crazy. They're on special now, $15 each or two for $25. Spring veggie starts are available after March 20th. Planning to landscape this spring or need a design for a rebuild? Ask Daniel about his design services and packages. Gardening is a healthy and safe activity to do with your family at home, and it's therapeutic. A Better Way Produce and Nursery has everything you'll need.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies today at 67, 60 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 43, 45 on the shores. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Showers developing, though, in the afternoon. High 69, 63 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 58, 53 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Lots of good listening in store for you this morning. More garden talk for the next half hour or so. And then Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. At noon today, KSRO will be continuing to provide complete local coverage on the changing conditions that we're all encountering. Special live updates today and tomorrow at noon with Pat Kerrigan. Latest info, live interviews with local decision makers. Of course, ABC on the hour. We'll have updates from them too. So do stick around after the good food hour at noon. From Santa Rosa, John. I believe John called and chatted with us about shade gardening last week. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you. Yes, I did call last week. And Steve, you asked me to call back in and add to the list of plants that I grow in full shade.
Yes.
That bloom in full shade. And that's why I'm calling to add a few more to that list.
Good, thank you.
But before I do that, I have some feedback for Gwen.
Let's hear it.
After I hung up, there was some talking about some of the plants on my list, and one of the ones that Gwen mentioned was the Japanese anemones, and how she put up a red flag on those because they're known to be invasive. Well, I was surprised to hear that because I researched plants pretty well before I put them in my garden, and I hadn't run across that piece of information before. So after the show, I went out to my garden and took a very close look, and sure enough, the Japanese anemones are encroaching on everything around them.
That started with Stacy, who called in, and she said that they were taking over her yard, and she wanted to bring to our attention how invasive they can be, and I agreed and said it's, you know, depending on what kind of soil you have. So, yeah, so you have good
soil.
You
and Stacy were certainly right.
Phew. Phew. Yeah, you know, one area in my garden that's very clay kind of soil, I planted them there, and they're not going anywhere. They're just staying put. Mm-hmm. But in the other side of my garden where it's beautiful soil, they're taking over, and they're, yeah. Just like I've seen it in several other friends' homes. So, wow.
When I started here, because we have this horrible adobe clay soil, mm-hmm. Before I planted anything, I had all that dug out and had good loam soil put in.
That's why they're doing so well.
I just want to mention, John, a book. Let me tell you something quickly, John. A number of years ago, the Santa Rosa Garden Club, actually, this is 25 years ago, mm-hmm. they came into the show and brought us the just published Winning Perennials for Sonoma County booklet that we still have in our library. And under Anemone Hybrida, Japanese Anemone, blah, 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 single whites, blah, 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 blah. Lovely, but if planted in the wrong location, look out, can be invasive. There we have it.
Turns out to be right.
But it is deer resistant.
Yeah, it is. Oh, you know, in one garden it was not.
Oh.
So, but we won't go into deer.
Okay.
Tell us some more plants, John.
Okay. I've got a few more to add to the list.
Okay.
I'm growing one clematis. The variety is called Riguchi. It's not, you know, the clematis is known for, you know, the roots want to be cool and the tops want to be in the sun. But this particular, the Riguchi is the most shade tolerant of all of the clematises.
Okay, thank you. And moving
on. I have it growing in full shade and it blooms. It's not the typical clematis bloom, the big star-shaped bloom.
Okay.
They're bells.
Perfect. Okay, go on with the list, John. We've got quite a few callers waiting.
Okay.
I'll go quickly thanks.
Then. I got the trumpet honeysuckles, primroses, sickleman, columbine, alstroemeria, mm-hmm. St. John's wort, Bernera, and my favorite of all, heliotrope.
Oh, excellent.
Heliotrope. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Wow. Thank you.
And all of those bloom in full shade.
Perfect.
Fantastic. We're going to add that to our
I wrote them all down.
Our full shade list, John, and we're going to credit you every time we mention one of those plants. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Thank
Good talking
you.
With you. Back after this, more calls, more questions, more answers. Live Garden Talk on KSRO.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
I'm here with Kent Corley of Vitalant, our local blood bank. He has a critical community message about the blood supply.
The social distancing and other efforts to reduce the spread of COVID-19 are appropriate and needed. One of the unintended consequences, however, is the wholesale cancellation of community blood drives. The safety of the blood supply is determined by blood donors. When blood drives get canceled, those units of blood aren't there at hospitals for patients in critical need. We and our community leaders are calling for anyone who's not sick, who is 16 years or older, to make an appointment to donate at the blood center in Santa Rosa.
This sounds like an emergency preparedness issue, Kent. What blood types are most needed?
Every blood type is greatly needed now. And importantly, the blood bank is considered an essential business and will remain open during this crisis for all healthy citizens to participate.
So please go to vitalant.org and click Make an Appointment or call 545-1222. You can be a real lifesaver.
Hey, Sonoma County. Thank you for making Creams Towing the number one rated heavy-duty towing company in Sonoma County. Creams Heavy Duty Towing has the largest fleet of medium and heavy duty rigs in Sonoma County and have been around since the 70s. So they're doing something right. Creams Heavy Duty Towing is on the road 24/7. Got a big rig stuck or need a four-wheel drive tow truck? Creams has the knowledge and experience to tow any and all large trucks. Their goal is to get you back on the road and home safe in the shortest amount of time. Need an RV towed? You guessed it. Creams Heavy Duty Towing can do that too. Their Class A drivers are fully insured and certified in heavy duty towing. Don't scream. Call Creams. 707-588-1250. Creams Heavy Duty Towing. 588-1250.
Each spring, colorful poppies grow and bloom throughout Sonoma County. Poppy Bank, celebrating 15 years of service, has also grown with 15 branches throughout California and thousands of satisfied customers. For businesses, Poppy Bank provides services that meet your individual needs because we want to see your business bloom. Visit us online at poppy.bank, one of the largest commercial banks in Sonoma County. Member FDIC.
Tune in every Monday at noon for legal expert Charlie Cochran on KSRO's Ask the Expert Show. Charlie is a legal specialist in civil litigation and partner of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison Law Firm in Santa Rosa. Charlie specializes in personal injury, civil trial litigation, and is California's super lawyer. That's every Monday at noon. Legal expert Charlie Cochran on 1350 AM and 103.5 FM KSRO.
It is Garden Talk. It is live at KSRO with Steve and Gwen. As always in the KSRO greenhouse, this is a wonderful place to spend a couple hours on Saturday morning and unplug from everything except the magnificent blue skies that we've encountered. You know, it's interesting when you think about all the downside to everything going on in the world. One of the upsides is the air is a lot cleaner because thousands of cars are not on the road. I've noticed that in wandering around the neighborhood, and I was in the park yesterday. And another thing I've noticed is how happy the bicyclists are because they can they can actually be out on the roads without fearing for their lives. So I know there's a lot of dark news out there, but occasionally there are some little bright spots to focus on. Maureen from Sebastopol would like a word with us. Maureen, welcome to Garden Talk. Hi.
Good morning. I'm calling to ask you which would be better. I have two volunteer rose bushes that just appeared and a heather bush. Which one can I transplant them?
A heather bush, you said?
Yes, a heather bush. You know, the real soft light leaf with the little pink flowers and their bush.
Oh, breath of heaven.
Breath of heaven.
Breath of heaven. Okay, okay. And roses that have popped up someplace. A couple of them. Well, do you need to transplant them? Why can't you leave them where they are?
Well, they're sort of all crunched up together, and so I'd like to move one of them, or which would be the healthiest one to move?
Well, I would
the safest one.
Move the one that looks like it's in the wrong spot, the one that's too close to something else. Because each plant, you know, ideally could get 3 feet wide. So if somebody's too close there, like say the two roses are too close together, dig up one of the roses. Just dig up a good-sized root ball, you know, and just don't mess with it or anything. Just dig the whole thing up, lift it up, stick it in another hole someplace, and give it a good drink of water and let it be. So you could do that.
Okay. What about the breath of heather?
Well, if it's doing fine where it is and there's not enough room around it for it to grow, just leave it alone and let it grow.
It should be moved, I think. They're just all three of them are in the bad spot.
Okay. Okay. Well, figure out where you want to plant all three of those. Have the holes dug, you know, dig a good size, you know, 1 foot by one foot, you know, and have the hole ready to go. Dig out each plant, stick it in the new planting hole, water it, and keep the soil damp, and hopefully keep your fingers crossed you did a good job and they'll start growing.
Okay,
but now would be a good time to do that.
That's what I thought. The ground is still damp and it's just beautiful outside.
Yes.
It's a good time to do it.
Exactly, yes. So have fun transplanting.
I thought one would be a little bit more sturdy or hardier than the other two.
It's all about the transplantor. So they're in your hands.
Okay. You bear full responsibility.
Yes.
Oh, dear, I hate to kill them. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Maureen.
Nice talking with you, Maureen. Let's grab one more call before we take a break. Yvonne is calling from Santa Rosa and would like a word. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello.
Hi, Yvonne. Are you there? Let's see. Do we have Yvonne right there?
What happened?
Wait a second. Let's see if Yvonne is right there. There's Yvonne.
The honeybee swarm.
Yes. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. So I had this wonderful experience with a swarm of honeybees yesterday. They had swarmed into a tree in my front yard. And so I really was not sure what to do. So I actually called the Sonoma Beekeepers Association.
Excellent.
And they were amazing. They were just amazing. I had 4 responses. Within 20 minutes, I had people on my front step wanting to get the hive, the swarm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so wonderful that people are out there doing that and want to make people aware, please don't spray them or try to knock their hive down.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. You see a swarm of bees out there, you do call the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association. They have a list of people who go out there and will collect the swarms. So depending on where you live, they'll send the person who lives closest to you out there. And so they'll collect the swarm and, you know, make
bees on my door in 20 minutes.
Within 20
wonderful.
Minutes.
Yeah. Wonderful. Within
They were so great. And they told me they're very, very active right now. So I just want everybody to know, take care of them.
That's right.
Take care of the honeybees and how to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you for that reminder. Thanks for sharing it with us.
And if anybody needs any information about bees, they could, you know, what plants to plant or, you know, sprays to stay away from and whatnot, go on the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association's website.
Thanks, Yvonne. Good talking with you. We'll take a break and be right back right after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Your Saturday morning Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market at the Veterans Building has moved to the Farmers Lane Plaza until further notice. From 8:30 to 1, you're able to buy fresh organic produce and locally produced goods direct from the farmers, ranchers, and producers. Market vendors are following official guidelines set by the Department of Public Health to ensure everyone's safety. All vendors at the market are implementing safety protocols such as increased hand washing, no sampling, and washing hands after handling money. Social distancing, waving, elbows, jazz hands, and winking are all encouraged. The market is a great place to find fresh organic ways to build up your immune system. Get vitamin C and more from fresh citrus. Soothe cold symptoms with local honeys and teas. The Wednesday market has also moved to Farmers Lane Plaza in Santa Rosa, 9 to 1. If you're an at-risk member of our community, contact Market Manager Kelly Smith for curbside shopping service. 415-999-5635. Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Posting your job opening to an online job search site is like drinking from a fire hose. You get more resumes than you know what to do with. Robert Half is the better way to hire. Our candidates are interviewed and custom matched to your exact hiring requirements. Quickly, satisfaction guaranteed. So what you need is just what you'll get. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Atlas Pavers is now open in Santa Rosa, offering design and build services by highly trained expert personnel. Their goal is to exceed their clients' expectations on time and in budget. From paver driveways, decks, and patios to outdoor kitchens and fire pits. To support our community, Atlas Pavers is giving back to the rebuilding efforts of Mark West and Coffee Park by donating 3% of every job to the Fire Rebuild Neighborhood Projects. Schedule a free design consultation. Call 707-204-0255. Online at atlaspaversco.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO, and one more email before we give away some orchid stamps. Hi, Steve and Gwen. You know that grass that you don't even want to say the name of? Well, I think the same of BW. And what is that, Gwen?
Bindweed.
Bindweed. Certain admiration for its extraordinary abilities to survive anywhere and everywhere. The BW has somehow jumped a very wide driveway and is threatening to overtake my new bulb beds. I am religiously applying vinegar to the new leaves with my fingers crossed. That's from Savita. Does vinegar work, Gwen?
I've been using it on my bindweed. So field bindweed is that low-growing perennial weed that has those nice white morning glory-looking flowers. I've been decapitating mine every time they start to come up. I just take the shovel and chop, 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 chop. And then you stay on top of it, and it usually does the trick. So since I've been spraying vinegar, trying to kill that nasty grass, Bermuda grass, I've been spraying the vinegar on the bindweed. And I also put a clear piece of plastic over the top. And on nice days, it's been doing a good job in, you know, messing it up. But I don't think it's going to kill the bindweed, but it's fun watching it die.
All right, we need to choose two numbers between 1 and 14, Gwen. What are your two favorite numbers today?
Let's go with 4 and 9.
Okay, we've randomly numbered each of the callers, so they're not in the order of which they came in. Number 4, that would be
Fran. You have Fran with about the Hardenbergia question.
Okay, and number 9, did you say?
9 now goes to Maggie, who sent in an email about her sticky plumeria.
So Fran and Maggie, you've each won 20 orchid stamps.
And Steve's not going to use one of those to mail your
Gwen
letter.
Gwen took me to task. Don't peel off one to use it. Shell out in your own pocket that 52-cent stamp. So, yes, a great way to celebrate the spring, which happened March 19th. And because the Orchid Show is not happening next week, we also want to give a nod to the Sonoma County Orchid folks. And better luck next year. We're sorry. We're going to have Marnie Turkell on the show today, who knows an awful lot about orchids, but since the show was canceled, we won't. But we'll get these, we'll get in contact with both the winners, get a mailing address, and send them via postal. All right?
Sounds good.
We'll see you next week, Gwen.
Okay.
All right, John Ash in the KSRO kitchen, that's next.